Perfect Parenting Podcast back on. We are live, coming to you from our studio.
We are live in a studio audience. Ashley
and Anthony are the audience, and the ladder and the mannequin head that scares everyone. Giving too many things away.
Don't give it away.
Sorry. We're just having a good time. We are happy to be filming all these fun episodes for you.
We are.
And again, our set is beautiful this season. I'm loving it.
It's very pretty.
It's fun to have Seth. We have thrown a loop in as far as the way that we bring Seth into our world. He's not here.
Yeah.
But that's because it's kind of hard to coordinate all this stuff, guys. So we still are trying to give you our favorites, but make it doable.
He's also now dealing with alligators and such in his pond. So he's busy in Florida.
He's busy in Florida with alligators. Gator.
There we go.
Okay.
One of these episodes, we'll have Brittany just talk like swamp people for...
If only I could. I love that show swamp so people. Much. I don't know why I love that show so much, except for the fact that they have subtitles and they're speaking English.
And they're American.
And they are. And they're just... culturally so incredibly different, and most of them are from like Florida or New Orleans area. I just want to go with them on one of their airboats, and I want to shoot the quarter size. You got to shoot them in the quarter size spot on the head. See, I just love
it's my favorite when you do any sort of accent.
I love swamp people. They're my favorite.
I sound like you just described some region of the world.
I know. It's the show of swamp people. I just love it. It's so entertaining to me. I could watch you shoot alligators all day long. I don't know why. It's weird facts of Brittany. Here you go.
Quarter size.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that has nothing to do with
that story. Has nothing to do with the meme. So let me segue into the meme.
Okay. Save us.
This is back to Ashley's love of The Office. So, mm-hmm. We're going to a little shout out for her. If you want to send us anything, send us stuff for Ashley that have to do with The Office. Please. There we go.
The more Office means, the merrier.
Yep. So here it is. This is Michael. If you know The Office, Michael's the boss. And it says, when you finally get your kid to sleep, then step on a loud toy on the way out. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's Michael in this meme. You have to go find this scene just to hear him. You have to hear him say this. But he goes, no, God, please, no. He's yelling.
No, God, please, no.
No.
He's just in it.
All of the Office memes are revolving around Michael hating Toby.
Most
pretty much
of them.
Yes. Yeah. So.
This could also be when you step on a Lego.
Oh, boy. Right, that's a whole different problem. That's less about waking the kid up and more about I'm going to die.
Yeah, it is the most dangerous weapon in the house when you step on a Lego.
So, that leads us to our topic for today.
Letting go of perfectionism. Just let it go.
That's always there. It's okay.
Let it go.
You just swamp people and Frozen.
I know. I'm very musical at this moment.
What else you got for us?
I don't know.
If you could put quarter size... And Frozen somehow, then you put them all together.
I don't know that I'm that talented. Quarter size. Yeah. I was trying to learn how to say shrimp, boiled shrimp.
Boiled.
I can't say it shrimp. The way that they were telling me I'm supposed to say it. I'm like, my mouth wouldn't do it. Like, boiled shrimp. I can't do it.
We're in Florida with our friends, but they're all from Louisiana.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, we are just rambling. Having too much fun.
Seriously rambling.
But we did want to talk about this... I think perfectionism shows up in a lot of areas, but obviously my book is, there's a whole section about this because, you know, imperfect parenting. Hi, how are you? That's me. The place of trying to be perfect, trying to do such a good job that my goal isn't realistic. The standard in which I set for myself, I... will never meet. And so I live in this place of failure, which is so hard because it's, you know, I'm discouraged all the time.
Yeah.
And I think when I'm discouraged all the time, I kind of succumb to this place of survival mode. I'm just trying to function. I'm just trying to get through it. And I'm just trying to get through the day to day, which I when we strive for perfectionism, I don't think we're actually having a very good, clear vision. which is dangerous.
Yeah. What do you think it comes from? That the motivation to try and be perfect. Where's it coming from?
It's probably different for everybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm afraid of not doing a good enough job. I'm afraid. And so I go into the self-preservation mode. I am trying to protect and control what I can. And I get a false reality of my ability. And I do it on my own. You know, I become the only person I can rely on. I become my worst critic. I become, I compare. I look at different places. I really take my gaze off of the Lord and what He's asking me to do. So survival mode, I can't actually have a clear head. I can't actually have a vision. I can't actually have an ability to lead. I look panicked. I live in the fight, flight, or fear, freeze mode. That is survival mode. And a lot of parents live in survival mode. And we do it to ourselves because we, you know, our kids have their, you know, curricular activities. Let's just start there. One's good at soccer. One's good at the flute. The other one's good at gymnastics. So they all have to be in those things to develop this skill and talent. Because if I don't develop the skill and talent within them, then they might not enter the world with the level of confidence that's needed. So if I don't exhaust myself with all of those resources for my kids, well, now I'm going into debt because I can't actually financially do this. So what kid do I love the most or has the most potential? Oh, how could I ever dare say it or think that way? Okay, I have to eat all organic because if I give any high fructose corn syrup, then I've failed. And if anything's frozen and has antibiotics in the chicken, oh my goodness. So you live in this.
That's exhausting.
Right? But that's survival mode. Mm-hmm. I have set a standard where I'm almost in this performance base. Yeah. Of achievement because I doubt the partnership that God has for my family. So, you know, all of our kids are gifted. All three of our kids. They're all talented. They're all have different expressions. And right now, Lincoln's in Taekwondo. Not all three of them. There was a season where the girls were in gymnastics and Lincoln wasn't in anything. And then there was a season where we stopped something because it was just too hard financially. And we had to switch on how do we continue to develop their confidence, their resilience, but in a way that doesn't take me to debt.
Yeah.
So I have to get out of this almost kind of rat race mindset, and I have to partner with, Lord, what do you have for this family? I need your guidance. So perfectionism totally comes from fear, and it comes from striving,
mm-hmm.
where connection comes from the kingdom, and I get to partner with vision.
Beautiful. That's what I was thinking. Stole my words.
All of them. Sorry.
I
went on a rant.
That's rant away, my love. But I think
only on this topic. You don't like me to rant another time.
Rant away.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. If it's pointed at me, maybe rant less.
Rant less. Yeah. Okay.
But I think what I just heard you say is that performance. Really, it's performance that we want to get rid of and partnership we want to elevate. Because performance does feel like I'm actually working to achieve or get something that I already have.
Mm-hmm.
It's already available. And partnership is just tapping into what's already available. So perfectionism is trying to become the person that I'm actually already designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think often about being a father, having a natural father, and then having a spiritual father, that the love of a father and the view of a father has nothing to do with your ability, your performance. It has everything to do with you're my son.
Hmm.
You're my son or my daughter, and there's nothing you can do to change my love.
Yeah.
Up or down. And I think that's where we have to get to first in ourselves as parents and go, I'm not working for love anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, if I'm perfect, then I get some special prize at the end.
Yeah.
No, I'm partnershipping. I'm in a partnership that leads to, there's a flow coming into my home and through me, that is the best thing for my children.
And we're not saved because of the works that we do.
Yeah.
We're saved by the grace of a loving father that sent his son. So you can't lose your salvation by not doing works, and you can't earn your salvation by doing works. So this is the same thing of, you know, when you add perfectionism and performance into your parenting and hoping that you will achieve connection with your kid, it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
So we've really got to lean into this space of, I want to steward greatness. I want to steward connection. I want to steward these key elements of our culture. How do I do that where perfectionism and performance aren't driving my heart and vision? Introducing the Mindset Tapestry, a game-changing way to boost your child's confidence and positivity. It's self-affirming mirror talk for kids, blending the affirmation tags and caregiver cards. It's easy to use and full of love. It strengthens the bond between caregivers and children. I love their mission, to raise a future generation of children to be authentic, purposeful, and to have a foundation of mental wellness throughout their development of their life and into adulthood. You can get a 10% discount by going to themindsettapestry.co and using the code Brittany10. That's Brittney10 at checkout. So go ahead and head on over to the Mindset Tapestry and get your 10% off today by using the code Brittany10.
It's hard to have this conversation without bringing up comparison again. Mm-hmm. We're brought up in different ways, but I think we're comparing ourselves either to someone or to something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talked earlier about that unrealistic expectation we put on ourselves, that this is the parent I'm supposed to be, I have to be. So perfection and doing it perfect all the time is the only way to get there.
Yeah.
And so if that's the comparison, or the comparison is that person down the street, the person at the church, they have it all figured out. Yeah. And if they catch me doing it wrong, oh my goodness.
I also think about, I saw this, I don't know, some video or something, but it was a clip of, you know, we are a child for 18 years, but you know, you live for, let's say, 75. So 18 years is not majority of the time that you're alive. But that's where you there's trauma that happens, and the rest of your life you spend going to therapy for this trauma. And I know there's your developmental stage and your belief system, all this, it's a reason why it's traumatic and it lingers here is because of our stage of development. I think part of the perfectionist piece is that we're trying to never create trauma in our child's life. Mm. And I don't know that we can not create some form of trauma in our kid's life, because you are human. You are flawed. You are not perfect. You are not God, and you're never meant to be God. So, you know, Delaney's in school ministry and she's going to get her first sozo. And I'm like, did we come up in it? Almost excited for the reality that I would be a fool to think I didn't do something that would cause trauma or a false belief of something that you had to, God, and you had to go work out.
It'd be wild to think that an imperfect parent didn't create some imperfect experiences inside of you.
And here I am, and I am on a journey of growth and self-awareness. And
you're beautiful.
Beautiful. Awesome. And I'm Stepped trying. And I am doing all that I can to be great.
Yep.
And I tell people all the time, and I'll say it from stage, I am a great mom.
Yes, you are.
I am a great mom. And I am doing all that I can to be a great mom. I'm not trying to be a perfect mom, because I've walked down that path and it doesn't work. So to live in this place where I'm trying to make sure that trauma never happens, that's kind of this place of perfectionism. And it's I can't guard them from my faults, my humanness, my flesh. But I'm so grateful to have a Father in heaven who makes up for everything I lack.
Yeah.
That can say, you know what, Delaney, your mom spoke this into you and it stained you. Watch me wash it away and give you a new truth. thank you, Jesus, for saving my butt yet again.
Totally.
So those are the places where we have to let go of that. Now, I'm not saying be irresponsible and being disengaged. I'm not giving you any permission for that. That's for sure. But you do your best and you keep showing up and you do all that's required for you to grow and mature in Christ. And that's what you bring to your parenting. At the end of the day, I hope you can say that you are proud and that you're a good mom or a good dad.
Yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm good. I'm doing a good job with what I have. Mm-hmm. My friend just recently, he comes from a pretty traumatized background, just like you're describing. And his dad just did his best, and they've restored their relationship a little bit, and they're working through stuff. But he said this phrase. He said, "I feel like I've come to the end of what my dad gave me." He's in his 40s now. Yeah. But he essentially said, "I feel like I've spent all my dad gave me, and I've done my best. I knew how to do it with it. Now it's time to grow."
Yeah,
because he has three children, and he's trying to figure it out. And I said, "I think I just heard you say that you've tended to the foundation well, but now it's time to build the house. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna be perfect, but you've been able to find the beautiful parts of your legacy." Mm-hmm. The beautiful parts of what your dad did give you, not just the trauma. You have to go work that stuff out and work on it. Mm-hmm. But I can find the beautiful things so I can do something with it in this next generation. But I think that's often one of the places too, is looking for humility. Mm-hmm. Looking for places to stay humble actually chases away perfectionism.
Yeah. And a super practical tool that I love that my friend Jenna Zent, she does this course called the Habit Lab, and I took it this last year, and super fun, the things I picked up. And I was just looking for a little extra in some areas of my life, and it's 10 weeks. She's done a fantastic job. If you're looking for some practical help of creating healthy habits in your life, she's your girl. But she talks about, and I know she's fallen in love with Atomic Habits, which we've read, and Tiny Habits, and then there's a couple other ones. But so I don't know if she originally got this from them or not, but she talked about the judge versus the scientist. Mm. And the judge will always bring a place of critical shame, punishment. That view and lens that we bring to a situation that we didn't handle well, that we struggled with, or I did it again, you know, if I lead with that voice in my head as the judge, I'm not going to find a solution that leads to me actually probably even learning. I'm just going to live in this place of shame. I'm going to circle back to, you're not perfect. Here's this goal. You couldn't do it again. You know, I am partnering with that voice of shame, which is not going to lead anywhere productive for me growing. But if I lead into this place of the scientist where I have a curious bend to how could I do that differently? What happened in that moment? You know, these questions that are trying to expose even what the problem is or what the belief system is. But I'm going to experiment with the thoughts that are going on in my head instead of looking to punish myself for being flawed. I learn, where can I grow? What could have done differently in a positive space? Beautiful. I think that's the practical place of getting rid of the kind of the goal of perfectionism, is I quiet criticism and I welcome curiosity. Yeah. And that's going to help me practice when I go into this place of survival mode, what will I foster? What will be my mindset? So I don't keep that, because that critical visionary, it's probably not very fun to follow, but a curious visionary probably brings some courage of the endless possibilities that's in front of us.
Yeah. It feels like a different way of saying that I'm learning how to walk in grace. Mm-hmm. First, give myself grace and then actually receive the undeserved favor from heaven. Mm-hmm. to do what he's asked me to do. And in this case, it's raise a family. It's mm-hmm. build life into children from an imperfect vessel.
Yeah.
But it's I always think about the verse, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So back to humility real quick. But my ability and willingness to humble myself actually attracts the grace I'm needing. It's not my perfection. It's not my performance and how well I did and how much I judge myself into perfectionism and whatever that thing is that's trying to lead us around. It's I'm going to humble myself and realize I need help.
Yeah.
I need help to be a good dad. Because that's my goal, to be a good mom today. I need some help. And so Jesus, help. And it's just the grace rushing in that we don't deserve.
Right.
That creates this highway of opportunity. So I think it's easy to talk about humility. It's hard to practice it.
What? No.
It's even harder to realize it in ourselves. And so, you know, I would probably even encourage community, like let people speak into your life and say, hey, smells like pride a little bit.
You stink.
You stink a little bit. What can you do about that?
It is so much of a personal responsibility to walk through. I'm putting down the goal of perfectionism and I'm picking up the goal of intentionality and connection. I'm confronting my belief systems that have come to consume my thoughts, which then fuel my actions. I'm really choosing to do something different. And I think a lot of parents, you know, we absolutely bring what we were given. And then there is a point that we run out of what was given to us.
That's right.
And sometimes it's really early on and sometimes it's a little ways in. And then there's a choice. It's almost like you can repeat the cycle. Mm. You can reshuffle through these old cards. And that's I think that people call it a generational curse or you know, baggage that you have. Well, somebody decided to keep shuffling through the same card deck instead of upgrade to the new level.
Yep.
And so that's really, I think, the invitation I'm asking from you is that you'd be willing to, is it time for an upgrade in your cards? And are you ready to let go of that goal of perfectionism?
Beautiful.
So, all right.
Would you pray for a quick, Brittany?
Yes.
This one feels like a, you get lots of response from your book, just from people talking about it. And every time I tell someone the title, they're like, oh, that's a good title. That's me. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jesus, we just invite your presence into this space where whatever you are, we know, God, that you are ready and willing and able to be with us. So, Father, I ask that you would just invade every heart that's listening, everyone that is struggling with this goal of perfectionism that says that I have to be this to perform this work, that I have to be better than the last generation. I just break off the pressure and the tension that comes with that over your mind and heart. And I just welcome in the Father's embrace and truth and love to speak to that spot that is partnering with striving and survival mode. God, I ask that your presence would feel so tangible, that there would be a lifting, an ease, that there would, what once was heavy now is light. I just ask that there would be breakthrough right now in the mindset, and that the next moment that we encounter where perfectionist wants to come in and rob us of this moment, that we can actually sit with you and say, Father, what do you want me to do? So Father, I pray for courage it takes to upgrade, courage it takes to grow. And I speak to every single parent that wants to partner with what heaven has for their family, that you would just welcome them in with excitement and that they would run to this opportunity and just feel your embrace, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. See you next time.
See you next time.